You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
He pioneered Jets blogging and podcasting. He brought smiles to the faces of Jets fans all over the world. He was there through the good and bad. And then, one day,
he vanished.
People far and wide wondered, where has he gone? When will he return? Thankfully, the answer is
now.
The OG of Jets podcasting and vlogging is back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
This is There's Always Next Year with Brian Bassett.
I'm back. The real me. Let's not make a whole thing of it.
And his co-hosts, Chef Travis Milton.
Today we're going to be making the students my tasty baked ziti with basil and fresh mozzarella.
And Josh Conrad.
Oh, my brother, testify.
On Play Like a Jet Digital.
Welcome back to There's Always Next Year. I was living in a time wormhole there for a second, which I'll explain shortly. But this is Brian Bassett. You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Bassett. And with me today is Josh Conrad. You can find under Josh_Conrad. Travis Milton is currently on assignment. But yesterday on Sunday, the final day of the season, week 18, the New York Jets fell to the Buffalo Bills by a score of 27 Bills to 10 Jets. And while it was a sloggy game with lots of punts, Josh, and it certainly got away from them at the end, it's hard not to be somewhat encouraged by this team. And I honestly don't think I'm trying to look through Jets colored glasses here. What was your reaction to what you saw yesterday in this game?
Yeah, we were not on, you know, coaching hot seat watch. We weren't on totalembarrassmentlive.com. We were not on, you know, are we going to blow this game? And does it, you know, we didn't have our fans dressing up as clowns to go to the game like Jags fans did. We were just kind of running out the string, as they say. So. You know, it was fine to me that they were in this game somewhat until midway through the fourth quarter. Now, maybe the Bills were trying not to show anything and they weren't really trying to, you know, push the envelope offensively and try some new stuff to get ready for the Patriots on Saturday. But we weren't an embarrassment. So that's progress. If there's anything for 2021, we can just say we were not a total embarrassment. And yeah,
Jets,
so I
Jets felt okay. Fever, not an embarrassment or catch it or something. Yeah.
Catch it.
I don't know.
This fever will only give you a headache for 5 days, much less than COVID.
Sniffles.
Catch it.
Sniffles. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was impressed with the fact that the Bills, you know, kept their starters in most of the game. You know, Stephon Diggs and Devin Singletary, you know, running the ball late in the game. Yes, did we see some Mitch Trubisky? Of course, but you know, by and large, you know, Josh Allen was running the show. And so, you know, they were playing for pride, they were playing for advantage in the playoffs. And you know, they hats off to them, but at the same time, like I was heartened by what I saw. I didn't see, you know, brutal turnovers. I didn't see, you know, just crazy plays in terms of, you know, just hero antics. I mean, the hero antics that did, that were manifest yesterday during the game were the repeated Zach Wilson Tecmo zigzag bowl back towards his own goalpost. And then like, you know, throw, try and heave it downfield or, you know, just clatter it out of bounds or whatever he could do. I honestly feel like if Zach Wilson can somehow get that out of his game, that would be a major boost. But at the but I like the dog in him that he's trying to make a play there, Josh. Like, yeah. I don't know. What were your thoughts? And kind of you see some of these plays. I think he's playing better. I won't talk about that, but let's just talk about those zigzag plays first. Can you talk about those zigzag plays, please?
The zigzag was the Josh Conrad special from 1988 until 1992 on Tecmo Bowl, Tecmo Super Bowl as well. It would drive my brothers nuts, my younger brothers who didn't have the up, down, left, right dexterity that young 1980s Josh Conrad had with that square controller in my hands. But the Zach Wilson ones, you know, I'm hoping like you're saying that we worked some of that out of his game. And at the same time, there's that tension between what makes a player special and how do we minimize the downside of where he's at. If we're in year 7 of the Zach Wilson experience and he's still making like those attempts, at that point, like the concrete has solidified and this is just correct. Who he is as a quarterback. Thankfully, you know, week 18, year 1, there's a little more grace for some of those right. plays. And I am curious to see, especially this offseason, you know, what work does he put in? What investment does the team make around him with some quarterback help and getting him to be confident in when he can make a play like that and working out of every single possession, trying to make 25-yard completions happen after 7 seconds of scrambling in the backfield, his MO. So, you know, not totally despondent, but at the same time, don't want to see that next year and the year after that as a mainstay in his repertoire.
Right. And again, I'm not like too worried about it. I mean, his offensive line is obviously banged up. The Bills defensive line is one of the most fearsome in the NFL. They finished the season by Football Outsiders, you know, measurement of, you know, best defense. They had the best pass defense in yeah. the league. So am I surprised that Zach Wilson only threw for 87 yards, you know, seven completions on 20 attempts, only one touchdown. You know, his leading receiver had 3 catches. Nobody else had more than one in the game. Am I surprised by that? No, not particularly. Not particularly. But at the same time, like, did he throw 4 interceptions? Did he throw 1 touchdown and 4 interceptions? No, he didn't. You know, and has he thrown interceptions over the last month? My understanding is I do not believe, if my memory serves right now, I don't think he's thrown an interception in the last month.
No.
So we're starting to see some of the caretaker stuff, which yeah. is great. Now, you know, the big thing that we have with him is as we go into years 2, 3, 4, is he going to go on the Baker Mayfield trajectory, which is kind of like, let's just limit you, like, you know, why don't you take a couple plays off here, champ? Like, you know, just throw the ball between the hashes and we're good. Like, don't be a hero. Like, is that where the coaches kind of lean his career, as we've seen with Baker Mayfield over the years? Or, you know, can he be that a little bit smaller, diminutive gunslinger like we've seen with Drew Brees? Or I kind of hesitate to mention Kyler Murray because I think Kyler has a different skill set than Zach.
Right.
But like when I watch Zach play, and I've said this repeatedly, I think I've said it on this podcast, like I think Zach Wilson is like the guy who watches Josh Allen's game over the last couple of years. And he's like, yeah, I'm that guy. And it's like, yeah, except for the like 40 pounds and yeah. And the 4 or 5 inches, like, except right. for that, you're totally that dude. Totally. And so that's the thing where it's like, can he figure out like, you're not Ben Roethlisberger 3.0, like, so you can't just like keep, you know, eluding and running and, you know, that sort of thing. But you can't also like, he's got to find that balance and kind of find his center in terms of what that looks like in the NFL. And so he's clearly still doing that. But yes, I would say I'm heartened by what I saw.
And he's probably closer of those comps, right? Like, I don't think either of us, if we get 2/3 of Drew Brees out of Zach Wilson, he'll already be the greatest quarterback in Jets history. Like 2/3 of him. I do think the Baker comp in terms of like, not skill set as much as just like timeline and in progression. I think after the first year of Baker, people felt similarly. Now Baker had a full season, probably had more weapons around him.
He was playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like on fire after that first year. People thought he was, you know, then they got, I can't remember if they got Odell Beckham the next year.
They did. It was after that year. But I think I don't know if he had Jarvis Landry already.
He had Jarvis Landry at that point. Yeah.
That's for the Browns edition of that. There's always next year. That's a different podcast that you want to subscribe to. Same content, different team, same story year after year.
More burning river discussion in that one.
More dogs spelled with a W than in this podcast. But you know, there's the interesting, like, after year one of each of these guys, and they each had different seasons, but like some of that swagger and like the, you know, like swagger can easily turn into confidence, or it can turn into overconfidence and, you know, downright like stubbornness. And I think that's where Zach Wilson's going to have the next fork in the road is, no. Am I going to be stubborn and I know how to play, I can do this, or can I be teachable? I think we've seen post injury this season, the second half of his season, I don't know that he's thrown more than one interception. Like it's kind of been incredible. Now, some of that has been, hey, like, you know, this is the box you live in a little bit. But I'd rather have a guy that you got to pull the leash back from than try to get him out of the box. And so, you know, I am encouraged where we're at. This is a really, I think, crucial offseason for him, for his development, and for the team to figure out, like, how do we accentuate his skills and limit, you know, some of those opportunities that he sees that are really throwing into triple coverage 40 yards down the field. That's going to probably turn into a turnover. So yeah, really curious to see how the Jets handle this offseason. Quarterback kind of guru-ish people around him to develop those skills and help him make those instinct plays successful rather than tricky.
Yeah. More Manziel, less Darnold is what you're telling me. You want more Manziel, less Darnold?
If you put it that way, let's have more. That's a great thought experiment. Do I want Johnny Manziel or do I want Sam Darnold? Oh my goodness. I guess give me Johnny football, because at least it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Could be a bit of a false dichotomy, but yeah, we'll take it. I think you get my meaning. So Zach Wilson, just to kind of sum this out, he ends the season. He plays 13 games. He completed 55% of his passes, which is not great. Basically anything below 60% is considered poor, which, you know, is the case. He threw for 2,300 yards, averaged 6.1 yards per, I guess that's attempt or catch. I don't know how that works on the ESPN site. But that's like Roethlisberger territory. Like, it's not good. But that's okay. 9 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Was sacked 44 times. Had a rating of 69, which is not great. And a QBR of 28, also not great.
Not good.
So, you know, when we kind of now have all the hay in the barn here, we're looking at what we've done over the course of the season. There were some reversals. He certainly did play some tough teams, interspersed throughout the year. New Orleans comes to mind, Carolina at the very beginning.
Yeah, Buffalo twice.
Tampa. Buffalo twice, right. Tampa, you know, even though their group was depleted, he still played, you know, still, you know, good crew over there. New England twice, you know, so there were some tough games for him in there. But you know, yeah, I'm not expecting him to come out with a 70% completion percentage against Buffalo. It was only 35% yesterday. So, you know, from a stats perspective, it doesn't end well for him in terms of, you know, when you're just looking at the counting stats. But yes, I think, like you said, we saw a different player after the injury. And so that's the hope there, is that we see a little bit more measured play from him. He's still going to, you know, try and make some plays and take some risks. I mean, the arm is there. The arm is absolutely there.
Totally.
And now we just need to put more weapons around him. And that means offense and defense, which, you know, we'll get the chance to talk about in the months ahead. We've talked about a little bit already. So, I mean, on the whole, I think this is a tough year, and I don't want to be a Jets fan that's just a cheerleader, I certainly think it certainly had its up and down moments. And like, we have to be clear, like Zach Wilson, if I talk about Football Outsiders a lot only because instead of something like PFF, because what PFF does is they go in there and they have people subjectively grading out players. They're kind of, okay, I watched this play, this person did good or bad, but they don't really understand the context or the coverage, like, you know, those things all the time. I mean, I guess they do, but, and like my boy Ben, like he has done work for them for years. And so I am not slagging on PFF, but what I will say is the thing about Football Outsiders is they're just using the statistics. They're using like the Gamecast data, and they're saying, okay, in a third and fourth situation, when you take a sack for 10 yards, like how does that compare to every other quarterback in the same third and fourth situation, you know, down by 5 points or whatever. That's it's, you know, derivative. So it like, it does that great analysis. And so, you know, so the season ends, and I am not going to sugarcoat the fact that Zach Wilson, out of, you know, 34 qualifying passers, you know, with a minimum of 200 passes over the course of the season, out of 34 qualifying, Zach Wilson was 34th. You know, in terms of his DR, which is kind of like his total value over the course of the season. Now, did he miss some games? Sure. But there's plenty of other players in that list that miss games. You know, Zach Wilson was under just players. He was at the bottom. So you can just imagine who he was under. Sam Darnold, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Tyler Huntley, you know, and then kind of on upwards from there. So you can kind of fill it in yourself. But the point is, like, you know, he did not have a good rookie campaign. That can't be whitewashed here or whatever, varnished here. So, but there is improvement. I think there's certainly improvement. So it's really going to come down to, you know, what we see from him next season. Can he make that jump, and can they put the players around him?
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Josh, we got a couple other things to talk about, though. So why don't we slide on over to those? Mm-hmm. This is Black Monday, as it's called in football parlance. A couple coaches and you know, general managers and front offices have been put out on the ice floes and, you know, pushed out into the ocean. Why don't you bring up one that you think's interesting, and then I'll bring up another. We can kind of go back and forth and just say, hey, what are we seeing around the league? What's interesting? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that impact the Jets or not? Just, you know, just impressions.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously, you know, we've seen a couple hirings that we expected, and then the one we didn't expect, close to home, ladies and gentlemen, the Miami Dolphins fired Brian Flores, and we're not entirely sure why. I don't know if there's going to be more to this story, but I saw a tweet immediately after it happened. It might have been Kevin Clark, that when you fire your coach, he's immediately the number one candidate on available coaching lists across the league. You may have made a mistake. So I don't know. I don't know if, you know, now some of it, if you go from 1-7, like the Dolphins were, and then finishing 8-1, a lot of that was schedule derived, but, I don't know that you fire that guy in that situation. Seemingly like you're building some momentum, seemingly like you've got some players and a team coming together. Maybe that's more to do with Tua, who knows, but, Brian Flores out with the Dolphins. It's probably good news for the Jets looking out at what the rest of the coaching pool is. If you're a fan of the Dolphins today, it would be hard to grapple with the Jets. Maybe, you know, if we project it out 2-3 years, the Jets are 8-8. Michael Carter's a stud running back. Zach Wilson's a great quarterback. We've added, you know, a Devontae Adams or a, you know, drafted the next Jamar Chase, or, you know, give us some similarities to where the dog, and we just fire Saleh. It would be like, wait, what's better than what we have right now? Like, that's the, like, if you're thinking you're firing Brian Flores, it's because you definitely think someone like a Jim Harbaugh is going to be available. Yeah. Or, you know, like, I don't understand this firing, but maybe in a week it makes more sense with the hire they bring in. I just don't see the guy coming in that is markedly better than what they had in Brian Flores. So very, very surprised by the Dolphins right now.
Yeah, I will piggyback off that. It's fascinating because clearly Flores is doing the best he can with what he's being given. And I'm not saying there's no weapons in Miami. I mean, they've had a couple good drafts there, but I have to imagine this was a question of Stephen Ross coming to the GM and saying, Chris Greer, and saying, okay, what are we doing here? And Chris just rolling on Flores because like, what else would it be? Right. It's like, well, it's you or the other guy. So who's it going to be? Well, it's the other guy. Like, it makes no sense when he's immediately fired and he's immediately jumps to the top of the pile for whoever would be in consideration. Right. I mean, there are coaches out there that could be in, you know, top consideration, you know, who are on playoff teams like a Byron Leftwich or whoever. But you know, a guy who has experience, rattled off a bunch of wins at the end of the season, was making it work. And meanwhile, that's the guy that seemed to be coalescing and kind of building a culture there in the locker room. That's the guy you let go of, as opposed to the GM who, I think this was the case. He traded up with the Philadelphia Eagles to 6 to take Jalen Waddle, who, hey, Jalen Waddle, great player, like, no, you know, but like, there were so many guys that were good wide receivers in this class. Like, you had to go get Jalen Waddle. You had to. Oh, okay. And you're doing this a year after you took Tua over Justin Herbert. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So this is what we're doing. Like, I'm sure you remember this a couple of years ago. I can't remember how many first round picks they had, like 3 first round picks. You know, they took Tua, they took Austin Jackson, they took Noah. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his last name, Egan Aboye. They had these picks that they built up because they traded off Laramie Tunsil and all these things. And then they like basically shat them out like in some of the picks that they've made. So like of the two, as I look at both of them, I'm like, well, if I'm Stephen Ross, I'm making Chris Greer go, not Brian Flores. I'm sure, you know, and then, you know, the guy, he's in South Florida. He used to be with the Palm Beach Post. Now he's with the NFL. I'll figure it out later. But Darlington, thank you. Jeff. Yes, Jeff Darlington. Yeah, thank you. He tweets like, oh, this is not because Jim Harbaugh is available. Like, this is totally like just like it was a bad time, whatever. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, Stephen Ross like wanted to buy the Jets. He couldn't buy the Jets. He went to Miami. He bought this team. He's been like, you know, having these, you know, whatever celebrity minority owners like since the beginning. He upgraded the stadium. Like, he's done all these things. Like, he wants to be like an Al Davis type who knows less about football. He wants the splashy hires. He's just not going to be able, like, this is a bad decision. This is it's desperation. And hey, you know, if Miami wants to go ahead and shoot themselves in the foot, like, be my guest, because I feel like that they were another team that the Jets were going to have to, you know, claw with to, you know, they're going to have to keep clawing with over the next couple of years to even get in contention with someone like the New England Patriots and or the Buffalo Bills. But moving on from that, some other things that I looked at and I thought were interesting was the removal of Dave Gettleman. They are calling it a retirement, but to me, it certainly looked more like a refirement. Gettleman, who was with the team, is certainly at the end of his career. This is his kind of second pass through the organization, has done a horrendous job in drafting and kind of building for the Giants. I want to like Joe Judge, and I want to think he can build a winning culture like Flores was trying to do in Miami. But for them to just let him retire and walk out the door, it seems unfair based on the team that he's been able to put together.
Yeah, it feels like Dave Gettleman was just escorted to the living room, the den, where a Lazy Boy and a knit quilt blanket has been set out for him. There's a little fire in the corner. There's episodes of Hogan's Heroes, and he's not been retired. He's not been fired. He's been made comfortable. Go be comfortable right. in the den, Dave Gettleman. And we're going to go back to the kitchen. But, you know, if you need something, just, you know, hit this one button. Someone will show up. We'll get you a refill on your Tom Collins, and you can just relax in the den for the next 15 years.
World War II documentaries on the History Channel will be on repeat for the rest of eternity. Enjoy.
Infomercials about commemorative coins from 9/11 on repeat for you to watch.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that was a weird one. The other one that I saw that was interesting to me, which seemed to be coming from a mile away, has just been the slow, I don't even know, like unraveling of the whole Minnesota situation. I thought that was interesting watching, you know, both GM Spielman and Zimmer get shown the door. I mean, this is a team that has some talent, has had some pride over the years, has competed. But, you know, some of that has left the building. Stephon Diggs was traded away famously. George Patton, who was not named the general manager there. Was he there, George Patton? Or was he in...
I think General George Patton was still fighting the war in the Pacific at some point.
Going crazy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He was with the Vikings. Okay. I freaked out there because I thought he was with the Bengals for a second. I was like, oh no, no. Yeah. So Patton was there for years and basically he was the assistant general manager, the assistant to the general manager. They never let him become the actual general manager. He got Dwighted. And so he was biding his time for a signature job. And he eventually got it with Denver. At the time when Idzik was hired by the Jets, Patton was on the Jets list of guys that they wanted to talk to.
But who did they hire instead?
Such a good hire. John Idzik, the iceberg.
The iceberg.
Or the glacier, or whatever they called him, yeah. He was bad. But Patton was one of those guys where I started looking into him because he was of interest to the Jets, and he basically quickly, you know, bowed out. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is the guy you want. Like you want this guy. And effectively he had been in an abusive relationship with the Vikings, and eventually they just never gave him that job. And so eventually he left, and now it's all fallen apart basically since he's become head of the Broncos earlier this year. So anyway, sad for the Vikings. I don't know. Any interesting things or notes there about what happened with the Vikings or other personnel changes that you're interested or tracking?
Yeah. The Vikings feel like, I think we all felt this way several years ago before the Cousins hire, that we all saw the end of that movie coming before the end of the movie got there. But, you know, some of this is when you devote and when you say yes to the guy who's saying, give me $100 million guaranteed, and then I'll sign the contract, like sidestepping that for the Jets, you know, and you can say, well, it would have made the Jets more relevant and, you know, you're taking steps toward being competitive. I'm all for that. But I don't know that anybody thought this experiment with Kirk Cousins at the head of the Vikings offense was going to lead them to a Super Bowl. Now you put him on some other rosters, perhaps the whole thing with Minnesota feels like it's aimed at another rebuild in the next 2 years. I'd be shocked if they pay Dalvin Cook the money that he's going to be deserved. Justin Jefferson is a transcendent talent. Feels like you're almost rebuilding around him in some ways. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe they can retool on the fly and, rework some of that roster with a new guy coming in, to lead it as the head coach. But, you know, Mike Zimmer probably will go back and be a defensive coordinator. He was a really good one, I think, in Cincinnati for a long time. Or an defensive coordinator.
Defense. I mean, based on the way he's run that offense in Minnesota. Yes. Like, I can't Such remember definitively, but I'm like,
mindset.
Just basically everything's defense. Yeah, we're going to punt here. We're going to kick here.
He sat in his interview, gave all of his defensive metrics. They said, what about offense? He said, I think I just told you what I will do on offense when he listed all of the defensive metrics. But, you know, that's a team that, you know, is going to be a pretty good a pretty good hire away as a head coach from potentially either fully rebuilding. It'll be interesting to see what they bring in. If you bring in a guy like Flores, maybe you feel like we're on the cusp of something special. If they try to go and get somebody that's just going to keep that seat warm, Vic Fangio, somebody else, while they rebuild the roster, we'll see. But also a little bit interested, we don't have to do the NFC North full deep dive here, but Matt Nagy out. See you later, Matt Nagy. That team, it's the Bears, but Justin Fields is something. I really like the guy. It's been publicized in this podcast since draft night. That was the guy I had circled, wanted at number two for the Jets this whole time. But you know, that certainly feels like another job that if they can somehow make the right hire at head coach, feels like a team also on the cusp of being pretty good. And if Aaron Rodgers is going to be, you know, floating off and boycotting the Super Bowl or whatever he said he was going to do, maybe that division's up for grabs in the next couple of years anyway. So NFC North fans, lots of turnover happening there. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with Fangio losing his job. That'll be interesting, but obviously Patton just came in last year, so he's going to want to bring in someone loyal to him. I sure as hell hope that isn't Mike Zimmer. But yeah, I am going to miss Matt Nagy, not for any, and Ryan Pace is out too there. I'm not going to miss Matt Nagy for any real, like, gosh, he's so good at football, or I really enjoy watching his teams play. It's strictly because he's the guy who is bald yet wears a visor. And there's not a lot of guys who are willing to,
there's just, like, a few
basically
of you.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I mean, I wear hats, like, I am super bald, and like, I wear hats, and the reason I wear hats is because, like, I don't want to get sun cancer, like, or skin cancer, excuse me, on my head. And so it's like Nagy is taking all of the value of, like, you know, whatever, covering his eyes, and none of the value of, like, what wearing a hat for a bald person actually does. So, like, I respect the fact that it's like, just like, go Salah, no hat, or go hat, you know, just, but why would you choose the worst of both options? Like, you're both bald.
We should start the spinoff podcast about coaching accessories and their fashion choices. We could have a field day with Bruce Arians chest protector. We could go off for 20 minutes.
I love that Darth Vader thing. That thing is rad. Like, I love that Darth Vader box he's got. It's great. That's just his belt strap, like, belt comms, right, that he's basically turned into a bike messenger pouch, right? Is that what's going on there?
You feel like he, you know, 5 years ago watched Empire Strikes Back and called his IT assistant in Arizona and then in Tampa and said, can you get me the Darth Vader box, but put it just akimbo, a little bit more on my collarbone, make it 45 degree angle, give me an airplane strap around it. And that's going to be where I'm going to coach this team into Super Bowl wins. That's how I'm going to do this thing.
What a guy. Yeah, that could have been the turning point for Arians. All right. Well, we got to go. Josh, it has been a pleasure to do this with you this season.
My friend.
It has been a pleasure to do this with Travis. I would tell him the same if he was here with us. But we are not done with our exit interviews. We will have today's trash bag day for the Jets. We will have our own trash bag day. That will be coming in the near future when we can get Travis back. But thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being a friend. I've traveled down this road and back again.
Yes. It's been really good. It's been good. This has been a long road this year. I appreciate the fact that you've traveled down this road with me. And thank you to you listeners for traveling this road again. We'll be back next week, I should hope, if Travis can make it. I know he's got some tropical plans in his near future, so we'll have to find a time that works.
Does.
But yes, we'll be back soon. Thank you for listening. Make sure to rate and review the podcast feed and stay tuned for all the great content from Scott and the rest of the gang at Play Like a Jet. Thank you. Have a good one.